Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. This information that you're about to share with us is important not only here in Russia, but could be life-saving information for people all over the world. So I'm very happy that you're here to share it with us, and I'm very excited about some of the things that I am going to learn to be able to share with our audience. I understand that you want to start with some new information that you want to share with us that you've just learned. What is that?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to speak with you. Today we received approval for conducting a clinical trial for a new innovative dengue fever vaccine, which was developed using a special innovative platform of recombinant genetically engineered protein vaccines. We used the fragments of capsid proteins of all four main dengue fever serotypes, and in preclinical studies we demonstrated good tolerability in lab animals. There was no antibody dependent enhancement. And most importantly, we demonstrated strong protective immunity, which gives us hope that we will confirm these data in clinical trials.
This affects people all over the world, and especially in parts of the world that are, you know, have certain climates, for example. If you were to come up with something, which it sounds like you are either have already or you're very close, how many lives could that save?
I can't provide exact figures right now, but for Latin America, Asia, Australia, and many other countries, this infection is certainly a great evil, affecting hundreds of thousands of people, many of whom develop severe forms of it. Therefore, we hope to conduct the first, second, and early third phases of this trial in Russia on volunteers from the Russian Federation to further understand the safety and tolerability of this vaccine. We will then conduct additional studies in Latin American countries once the vaccine safety and high immunogenicity are fully proven. Considering that we have our own biotechnology center, Mechnikov, in Latin America in Managua, Nicaragua, we will carry out a technology transfer and establish production of this vaccine at this center. And we are very hopeful that it will have high efficacy.
How long would it take for this to be accessible to people around the world? How much longer do you think, Doctor?
We expect it to take at least 3 to 5 years, with the first and second phases of trials beginning in 2027 and 2028. But we will begin now, having received approval for use. We also very much hope to begin phase three no later than 2029.
Let's talk now about something that is further along, a therapeutic vaccine for cancer, which I understand is effective in up to 80% of reducing a tumor, a cancerous tumor. That sounds so hopeful. It's almost like a cure. Can you describe for us what it is?
Indeed, using an animal model of intestinal adenocarcinoma or colorectal cancer, we demonstrated that the oncovaccine reduces tumor size by 60 to 80% and slows its growth. In some animals, the tumors completely regressed, leading to a full recovery. This was despite the fact that we administered this vaccine a week after the tumor was inoculated. And within a week, given its malignancy and rapid growth, it had already reached a very large size. How can this happen? This vaccine is personalized. This is not a standard one-size-fits-all vaccine. The key is that using sophisticated bioinformatics methods, we identify the neoantigens, the mutations that actually developed and created the tumor, from each tumor, which is always unique. We then identify those neoantigens that are most highly immunogenic, meaning the tumor cells then present them to the human immune system. By isolating these epitopes, so-called peptide epitopes, we can then create different vaccines based on these epitopes. This means we either synthesize these peptides and administer them with an adjuvant, a substance that enhances the immune response. This can be in the form of a so-called peptid vaccine. It's called Oncopept. Or we create an mRNA molecule that encodes these peptides. Then we administer the mRNA vaccine and human cells receive receiving it begin to produce the same peptides themselves. They are not exogenous, but synthesized in the human body. The idea is that by introducing these tumor cell markers, we train the human immune system to recognize the tumor and direct its full immune response to fight it. Essentially, we enable the body to remember how to identify tumor cells. And this is a very powerful serious response. The vaccine is therefore always personalized. It requires biological material taken from a tumor biopsy. It takes 42 days for each patient to produce the vaccine from their tumor tissue, and then another 7 days to test the vaccine's quality. The total vaccine production period is 49 days. And just as each tumor is individual and unique, so is each vaccine. It is personalized.
Yeah, that's important. And it's interesting. That's why you say this particular vaccine is customized. Key word, customized, because what you seem to be explaining that you do is each person who has this illness has their own specific mutation. So what you're explaining, and I think this is illustrative for people to understand, is what's so different about this. You're going to use genetic sequencing to essentially determine in that patient's tumor what kind of mutation they have. You identify the mutation, so then you know what you need to attack that mutation. And that's what you're doing, and nobody's ever thought to do it that way.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The difficulty lies in the fact that over 400 mutations have been described that make a cell tumorous. It's a complex process to identify mutations unique to each individual. It is simple to make vaccines against infections because the human immune system quickly recognizes foreign proteins. But in this case, the difficulty is that we're not talking about foreign proteins, but about mutated ones. They're altered, but they're ours. And that's why they're harder to recognize. That's the first thing. Secondly, tumor cells can adapt to the immune attack we create, and they can dynamically respond and rearrange their mutations. Therefore, this is a truly complex process.
So you go in and you understand or identify the mutation. Now you need to send something in to destroy the mutation or the cells in the mutation. To make that determination, I understand AI is used. Is that true? Are you using AI to be able to determine how you're going to, what kind of process you're going to use for attacking it?
Artificial intelligence is the foundation for conducting this research. We essentially use predictive computing algorithms based on machine learning methods. We use RNA sequencing results from a person's tumor and blood, and by assessing the differences between the person's genome and the tumor's genome, we identify the mutation. This is the first step. Without artificial intelligence and doing everything manually, we would never have been able to complete the study in such a short period of time. Furthermore, we would have had to double-check our results many times. Artificial intelligence significantly speeds up the detection process and makes it more accurate. But even after the most advanced AI has been used, there is a validation stage when a bioinformatician and a geneticist manually check the final results. And this is very important. This is why the vaccine takes 42 days to develop, followed by an additional 7 days to verify the quality and accuracy of the artificial intelligence system used in its development.
Tell me if I can characterize this correctly for the audience, because I know this gets a little complicated and you're very good at explaining this. It seems very clear. So at that point, after the AI comes into play and you've made a determination onto a customizable vaccine, the vaccine is injected into the patient to instruct the immune system to recognize and destroy the malignant cells while leaving alone the healthy cells. Is that, from a layman's perspective, what happens? Is that correct, doctor?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. In fact, we use the immune system to kill malignant tumor cells, and then they are removed from the body. Healthy cells are unharmed. And precisely because we actually identify markers on the tumor cell membranes, they are neoantigens. It's impossible to make a mistake. We inject these peptides, and the immune system, reading them, kills all cells with exactly the same peptides in their membranes.
So you're not destroying the cells almost as if you're using a weapon. You're training the system to do its own destruction, right?
Yes. And this is truly one of the most powerful weapons, because if the immune system is stimulated incorrectly, we know what happens when a cytokine storm develops against the backdrop of, say, COVID-19 caused by infection with the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And if you trigger a generalized rather than a targeted reaction, the side effect is very serious. And the use of personalized vaccines allows us to avoid this.
This is a remarkable breakthrough, the way you're describing it. Nothing like this, or certainly to this degree, exists anywhere in the world up to now. Am I correct?
The United States, Germany, and China were the first countries to conduct research into the development and use of cancer vaccines. However, these studies weren't personalized. Attempts were made to create a single vaccine for each tumor site, suitable for all people with that tumor. Because of this, the effectiveness was very low. The key is personalization, owing to the fact that in the Russian Federation...
But that can't work because, as you said, there's too many different mutations, right?
Of course, everyone's situation is different. And given Russia's advanced bioinformatics school, we've managed to leapfrog in a very short period of time, thanks to our bioinformaticians, and find ourselves not just among the leaders, but leaders among the leaders. And we're very hopeful that we'll get good clinical results.
How many patients has this been used on? How many patients has this been used on up to now? How many have been tested? And of course, I'm also going to ask you, what kind of results have you seen?
We started administering the vaccines. We were only given approval for clinical use in March of this year. And now more than 40 patients have been selected for vaccination. These are the first patients. We administered the vaccine to the first patient at the end of March and beginning of April, and the rest are at various stages. Some are currently undergoing biopsies, while others are receiving the vaccine, which takes a long time, 49 days. So far, we can say the vaccine is being tolerated well. Judging by the initial impressions, it's safe. Furthermore, we're seeing a good protective immune response to the vaccine. For example, in our first two colorectal cancer patients, the concentration of immunoglobulin G specific to their tumors increased by 50 and 100 times. It's been just 2 months since the vaccine was administered. The first checkpoint for magnetic resonance imaging is 3 months. That is, in a month, we'll be able to measure the dynamics of specially measured marked tumor nodes, lymph nodes, or metastatic nodes. Therefore, it's too early to talk about clinical efficacy. We see that everything is going as it should, as we wanted it to, but it will take a month before we will have the results on the tumor node volumes themselves. Clinically, we see a reduction in their size. After the fourth injection, and our first two patients have already received 5 injections, we saw a reduction in lymph nodes size after the fourth, but it's too early to say without an MRI.
Yes, but if we were to go just by the laboratory results that you have so far, and if the laboratory results match the clinical results, we would be looking at what sounds like, I don't want to use this word because people are going to say, well, that's, you know, I want to be careful with the language we use, but it's pretty close to a cure. If 80% of a tumor is removed, that's almost a cure for somebody who has cancer, no?
This drug is not a panacea, as it cannot replace all the currently effective therapies. It cannot replace surgery, good chemotherapy, or other types of immunotherapy that block immune checkpoints. It is an additional option, not a replacement, and this must be understood. Moreover, given certain ethical issues, we understand that there are now approved protocols that are proving their effectiveness. Our national regulator decided that we are not to treat patients with cancer vaccines in the early stages of of the disease. We were forced to include patients with advanced stages, such as metastatic colorectal cancer. Moreover, these are patients who have already undergone surgery and at least two courses of chemotherapy. We specifically decided to do this, recognizing that it is more difficult to treat at this stage, but it is more honest. It is more honest because without first confirming the vaccine's effectiveness, we cannot cancel protocols that have already proven their effectiveness. I believe that humanity will not be able to completely defeat cancer and oncology in the next few years, simply because they are a very diverse group of diseases. They are not a single disease. There are a huge number of causes and mechanisms. But turning cancer into a simply well-managed, controllable chronic disease is our main goal, so that we can induce long-term remissions. The mutation state changes, new mutations appear, which means they need to be suppressed. Thus, we have a real opportunity to transform malignant oncology into a well-controlled chronic disease. And this is a realistic goal. A complete cure is still a long way off.
And it's important to ask which cancers. And when people say cancer, there's many different types of cancer. Are there maybe some cancers for which this will not work, as opposed to the ones that you've identified already, like colorectal cancer, where it does seem to have some effectiveness?
I understand. The technology itself is universal. We have already completed preclinical trials of an onco vaccine against glioblastoma. This is the most malignant brain tumor, and we will soon submit documents for approval for clinical use of the drug in glioblastoma, and at the end of the year, we will submit an application for clinical use of the drug in melanoma. This year, it will be cutaneous melanoma, and next year, uveal melanoma. Melanoma of the eye membranes. It is important to note that the approaches I mentioned work in any tumor location, but to be sure, of course, this technology is always adapted to a new location and requires clinical studies for each new location. Why is this important? Tumors differ in whether they are so-called hot or cold. There are tumors that are saturated with immune cells. The tumor cell microenvironment contains a large number of immune cells. In this case, the tumor is more immunogenic and more amenable to immune therapy. There are so-called cold tumors, which are significantly less immunogenic and are not directly controlled by the immune system. Take the brain, for example. The brain is an immunologically privileged organ and has significantly fewer mutations than brain tumors. This is the first thing. The second is that they are not very immunoreactive. Therefore, for a vaccine to be effective, the tumor must first be warmed up. This means that the necessary intervention, for example, other types of immunotherapy, immune checkpoint inhibitors, are needed to boost overall immunity and attract immune cells to the tumor so that the immune system can then target and kill these cells with the help of a vaccine. Therefore, the situation varies for different tumors and it requires a very delicate and careful approach.
This is fascinating. So I could, if I was writing a headline for this story in my report tomorrow, I think I could almost say that doctors and researchers under your direction here in Russia may be close to or on the brink of developing a therapeutic vaccine which is customizable and can effectively, hopefully, reduce up to 80% of a cancer victim's tumor or condition. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow.
This is true, but it must be confirmed in humans because even with experiments on different animals, mice, rats, rabbits, and so on, we understand that this is not a complete approximation for humans. Humans are much more complex. That's why, after preclinical studies, even very good preclinical studies still require clinical trials and verification in humans.
You're a scientist, so it's not about feelings, I know. So don't get mad at me for asking this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Are you confident? How confident are you at this point that this will turn out to be the real deal, as we say in America?
It's difficult to be completely certain. I very much hope so, because we did everything we could to confirm that this works before moving on to humans. It works in animals, and we hope it will work in humans.
In how many teach me, doctor, if you could, how often is it the case that because it worked on animals or in laboratory tests, it did not work when you used it on human beings clinically? Is that something that happens a lot? I don't know.
This doesn't happen often, but it does happen. This is precisely why the main principle of medicine is do no harm. On the one hand, we must actively develop innovative treatment methods. On the other hand, we must always protect patients and ensure their safety. Scientific curiosity must never be satisfied at the cost of a human life.
Well, my hat's off to you. Congratulations to you and your team for what you've been able to achieve up to now. It really is a breakthrough, and I'm very grateful that you shared it with us and our audience, and we're going to share it with our audience around the world. Is there anything that I forgot to ask or should have asked or anything else that you'd like to say?
I would like to add that you are a wonderful conversationalist. It's a pleasure to talk with you because you are genuinely interested in the questions you ask. Thank you very much. I hope that when we obtain clinical results, I will be sure to share them with you.
Oh, thank you, doctor. That's very nice. Appreciate it. I appreciate it. And we would very much look forward to reporting them. Thank you. Спасибо. Спасибо.